let's keep talking. Welcome to the podcast Found in Estonia, where I, Tiina, usually talk with different foreigners living in Estonia. Yet, this time it's a little different. This season is powered by a non-profit organization, Mondo, which aims to reduce global inequality. You can hear more about their project together at the end of the podcast. What you need to know now is that this season features Estonians who are no strangers to either living abroad themselves or having done a lot of traveling. And today, these Estonians still, or again, call Estonia their home country. We will talk about why, when, and how did they end up living abroad, how was their experience compared to living in Estonia, and how their perspective shifted after moving back to Estonia. My guest today is an Estonian, Liina Metsküla. She has written 3 books about traveling. These books are all based on her own travels around the world, because she has visited over 80 different countries and still today calls Estonia her home country. Today she works as a journalist and she also hosts her own podcast called Järgmine Peatus, where different Estonians share their travel stories in Estonian language. Now it's time to dive into Liina's story. So, Liina, I want to welcome you to the podcast and let's start with a simple question that I'm pretty sure you get asked a lot. And it goes like this. How many countries have you visited and why so many?
Hello, Tiina. Thank you for inviting me. I have visited 84 countries and many of them several times. For example, I've been in Italy for 9 times, in Spain countless times, in Russia 7 times, in the US maybe 5 times. I mean, I have been in many different places, but I'm always eager to visit more.
So, how did that all start? What sparked your travel bug?
I think it started when I was 17. I'm 31 now. So when I was 17, I went to Barcelona to study in a language school. It was for 2 weeks. So I thought that
I was living in a family, like in an apartment,
and I thought that that family will show me Barcelona and I can hang out with them. But actually, I was just staying there. So, I was just living in an apartment. So I had an opportunity, but I had an option to start exploring by myself or just stay alone in the apartment. So I decided to start exploring alone. And then I realized that I liked it. I was just wandering on the streets of Barcelona and I was just thinking, oh, it's so cool. So it was the first time when I was alone in foreign country. And the next year I went alone to Mexico, Guatemala and El Salvador. Uh-huh. I was 18. It was between 2 high school exams when I went to Mexico. So I went alone for the first time. I mean, in Barcelona I was alone, but I didn't plan to be alone there. But I went to Mexico alone. I knew I will be alone there. Uh-huh. So it was almost for 3 weeks when I was there. And I think it's... somehow also started there when I was in Mexico. Yeah,
that's a big step. The first trip was you living in a local family in Spain and then going to the other side of the country alone without any family, without any place. Weren't you afraid of doing it?
To go to Mexico?
Yeah.
I think I was too young to be afraid. I mean, it's Mexico. It's actually quite dangerous. And Guatemala, it's even more dangerous. Well, it depends on where you go in Mexico. There are several parts that are more dangerous than others. But I don't know. I think I was young and stupid. And I really wanted to go. I had a taste of traveling alone, uh-huh. like almost traveling alone in Spain. So I just wanted to see more. And What was the question? If I was I afraid?
Yeah, weren't you afraid to go alone without any safety net?
Yeah, I think the answer is that I didn't think about that. And usually people ask, what did my parents say? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they are extremely overprotective, always. I'm the youngest one. But the thing was that I wanted to, I mean, I didn't want to go to university. Uh-huh. I wanted to go traveling. I wanted to be au pair in America. And my mother was, no, you can't. And then she offered me an exchange. They pay for my trip wherever I want to go. Like, I mean, like, not too expensive place, but somewhere. Mm-hmm. They pay for my trip and then I go to university. So so that's why they couldn't tell me that I can't go.
Were there any conditions, like how about the price range, or you just picked the most priciest tickets?
No, I don't remember. No, I mean, there were no, I don't know how to say. I don't remember if there were any conditions, but of course I couldn't choose the most expensive one. I remember it was, we had Kron at that time. It was around 5,000 crowns.
Okay, yeah.
How much? It's less than 400 euros. Oh. So it's, I mean, it wasn't overly expensive at that time. And Mexico is quite cheap. And also Guatemala and El Salvador, so it wasn't very, very expensive. Of course, if it had been too expensive, my parents would have told me that no, can do. but about conditions, like I don't remember. Like it was just I had some options. What I had found, Mexico was I think Indonesia and some other Iceland.
Oh,
so but. I mean, I have been to Iceland, like, I mean, I visited Iceland later and I was happy that Mexico, I started with Mexico. It was more interesting, to be honest.
Do you think that this traveling, that the traveling that you did, that you started so young, you were 18 when you went to Mexico alone, is it something typical to Estonians, or even your Estonian friends thought it's a little bit out there?
I think it's maybe it's more typical now, but it was 13 years ago, so it wasn't very common. I mean, like, I have met a lot of Germans and French and also Americans traveling around, and they have went traveling after high school, so it's quite usual for them. But for Estonians, I think it's more common now, and maybe like many people went to Australia. Mm. Like it's quite common thing to do, but just randomly go traveling. Well, maybe I think maybe more now than 13 years ago.
Uh-huh. I don't think I know many people who went to Mexico 13 years ago. So that's an interesting choice.
I told you that I was young and stupid. I didn't know that it could be quite dangerous. So nothing happened. Sometimes it's good not to know. Something protects you.
Okay, yeah. And you mentioned in the beginning that you traveled to 84 countries, many times to Russia and to Mexico as well, and to different countries in Latin America. But what makes you always return to Estonia? Have you thought about staying in Mexico for a longer time or somewhere else and living there?
I have thought about that. But I don't know. Estonia is somehow my home. And I have understood that Estonia is a really good place to live. It's something that traveling has taught me that it's, you know, like those people who don't travel, who always live in Estonia, they say that, oh, Estonia, it's so bad. Like, you know, everything is better in Finland and like different countries. But I have seen so much poverty, So, and, you know, I've been in Dominica that has been destroyed by hurricane. So, like, we don't have that kind of things in Estonia. So, like, why I have returned here? I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's Estonia is my home. I enjoy traveling. I have thought about living in different countries, but somehow I have always wanted to come back. So Estonia, yeah!
So sweet. And you mentioned about the poverty in Dominica, but what are the other contrasts that you've seen and that have left an impact on you, or differences in culture?
Okay, I have to speak about Dominica again, because I was there 4 years ago. Yeah, I knew about hurricane. I think it was called Maria, but I'm not sure at the moment. I think it was. Anyway, I had heard about that, but it had been a year. So I was when I arrived there, I was really shocked to see, like, you know, destroyed houses, and people didn't have electricity. Mm-hmm. And, well, not speaking about the internet, they didn't have electricity. And, you know, I heard that many people committed suicide after that, because, like, their life work was gone. Because, you know, you had a house, you had a shop, and then, like, only some hours, and mm-hmm. everything was gone. But you asked about contrasts?
Yeah, different contrasts that you've seen.
I don't know. I mean, like, world is so different. Like, it's like, in Estonia we have, like, one thing, and, like, 1,000 kilometers from here, it's something completely different. Like, not speaking about, like, 5,000 kilometers. So it's like, I have seen, like, completely different life. Like, I don't know, for example, living in Mexico for 3 months, like, it's, I have been to Mexico for 2 times. So first time 13 years ago, as I mentioned, and second time was 4 years ago. I was working in one small village that was called Sanakat. You know, it's, the world was just completely different. You know, just like really like basic house where I was living. Like, we actually had internet there. At the beginning we didn't, but we got internet there. I think it was like, it was one of the few houses that had internet in that village. Yeah. Actually, people are using internet on their mobile phones. Mm. So they have like 3G data there. Uh-huh. like, everything was so basic there. And, you know, I have seen many that kind of places. And I think that this makes you humble, because you understand that you are just a very small part of the world. Like, you're nothing. So, I have seen many different things.
Okay, maybe something more easier. What have been your favorite destinations?
My favorite destination is Italy.
Oh, okay.
So it's not very interesting.
No, not too far from Estonia.
Yeah, yeah. I've been there for 9 times.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know, it's somehow like, I love Italy. I like everything about that. Of course, I like Italian food. Everyone does. But, I mean, I like Italian language, people, like, sightseeing, all those piazzas, like, lifestyle. I don't know. It's somehow, I like to be in Italy. It's something I really enjoy. But there are also many other countries that I like. You know, the thing is that I try to visit every country only once.
Okay, that's an interesting rule.
I mean, the thing is that there are so many different places, uh-huh. so there is no point of visiting the same place for 10 times, only when it's Italy. But actually, there are some exceptions.
Okay. Mexico?
Maybe? Yeah, well, Mexico. Well, it's only two times, so it's not like too many times. I mean, as I mentioned before, there are several places I've been quite many times. I'm always ready to go back to Italy, Spain, well, Mexico. maybe, well, I mean, the US is quite interesting. Well, I must say that I have always liked Russia, but well, now at the moment it's not the best thing to say. I mean, I have liked Russia as a country, not Moscow, not St. Petersburg, but just those like small villages. I have visited many many different cities and like countries. I'm always looking for something that's special in this way, that it's not very touristic. So, I mean, for example, London and Paris are very beautiful, but I also like small villages in Russia, maybe Romania, something that is not so common.
Okay.
So that's the thing, that I'm trying to find something that would be interesting, more interesting than just famous sightseeings.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any kind of like list that when you're traveling, then you want to check off, like see the capital, see a small village, eat the food, stay in one fancy place, stay in a hostel?
No. Sorry, no. I'm just going there and deciding where, what to do, and no list.
Okay, and you keep saying I just go there, so. You're mostly traveling alone, but why is that?
It started because I didn't have anyone who would go with me. So the first time when I knew that I will go alone was that Mexico that I mentioned before. Well, most of my friends were finishing high school, so no one was crazy enough to decide that, okay, let's go to Mexico. And actually another thing was money. I mean, when you're finishing high school, you just don't have money. Like your parents pay that. So parents have to agree that, yes, you can go to Mexico. So I had that deal with my parents that they will pay, and then I go to university after my high school.
Do you still have that deal that they pay for your travels?
Oh no. Oh no. They are retired. Okay. No, it was of course then. And I don't think that after that they paid for my trips. I mean, I have to say that they have always helped me. When I need money or something. I mean, when I was traveling for 7 months in Latin America, at the end, I didn't have like much money left, so they just sent me 500 euros. But it's not like something that, oh, mommy, can you give me money? Of course not. So I mean, I have to work when I want to travel. I have to work. Mm-hmm. So it's like that. So I even don't remember what was the question.
It was about did your parents give you money for traveling? But the original question was something else.
Yes, but okay.
Well, solo traveling.
Yeah. It started there, and then I understood that it's quite comfortable. So it's it's quite good to travel alone, because, like, for example, when you want to go somewhere, you don't have to, you know, speak to someone. Oh, can you come with me? Oh no, you don't like these dates. Oh, maybe other country. Like,
as a side note, that really sounded like an Estonian stereotype.
Like, I mean, it's people usually have all kinds of problems. I mean, I also have problems, but it's always easier. I mean, it doesn't mean that I don't like to travel with other people. It's okay. I mean, my recent travels have been with my boyfriend, so I like to travel with him. But I don't know, I just start to like it when you're alone. Then you always, actually, you get to know the country better, because when you're with someone, then you're always with that person. You know, speaking in Estonian and speaking about your stuff. But when you're alone, then, I mean, you don't want to be alone all the time. So I have stayed a lot in hostels, like youth hostels. So you speak with different people and get to know locals, and you hear about local customs, that all kind of stuff. So I don't know, I just liked it. I have always liked that.
Okay. Well, I like traveling alone as well sometimes, so I get that. And I think it's a bit more common for Estonians, or at least it's something that our personalities are like, yeah, we're fine doing stuff alone as well.
Also traveling alone?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Estonians, I don't know many Estonians who travel alone. I mean, I know, but I mean, as one person once said, that it's so... I will think, how was that? It's so curious that Alina likes to travel alone. I even don't want to go to cinema alone. So it's, you know, you just have to have some kind of courage to do that. For Estonians, it's fine doing things alone, but traveling alone, it's quite big decision. You have to step out of your comfort zone. But I am happy that more people are doing that. So it's getting more and more common thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Actually, in your own podcast that you host, which is an Estonian languaged show, where you talk with Estonians who have traveled abroad or lived there or done something, you have done over 300 episodes, if I remember correctly. So you must have gotten some a lot of input from from different stories, and maybe you can... tell, how do Estonians typically travel, or what do they prefer?
It's actually very inspiring to hear those stories. And, you know, that as you said, that more than 300 episodes, so a lot of different stories, you know, people who have been volunteering abroad, or just living for longer time, or just, you know, it's there are many different stories. But I have always, I have also got some inspiration from there. So, for example, one person once told me about her trip to Vladivostok. Was it Vladivostok? Yes, on Trans-Siberian, that railway. So I had always wanted to visit Lake Baikal. So I was thinking, okay, I think I should also do that trip, but not until Vladivostok, but until Irkutsk. So, she gave me the idea, to do that. Actually, it was the same person. Some years later, she was speaking on the podcast about visiting Transnistria. That small country that is not...
it's next to Moldova, right?
Yeah.
Or inside Moldova.
It's not recognized, so it's actually part of Moldova, but they say from 1990, I think, they have said that, yeah, we have our own country. So it was really interesting for me. I planned to go there. I was to go there, but some days before that, started the war in Ukraine, so I had to come back. It was the idea I got from the podcast. So sometimes I listen to people and think, I should go there.
That's such an interesting story, and it reminded me that if you say that you got the idea to take the Trans-Siberia train to Russia from your guest, then actually I've always thought about it. And then this year when I read your third book about your travels, where you talk about a bit about your experiences in Mexico and then about the Trans-Siberian train, then after reading that, I was like, I'm good. I don't need to go there.
You don't want to go there?
Now with the whole situation with Russia, I was like, well, it didn't seem so comfortable or that joyful. So I'm good for now, maybe in the future. But I think it was a nice like insight that it's not that they're actually, you can talk more about it. But as I understood it was that it's literally sitting in a wagon full of people, not getting a lot of sleep, not getting a lot of food, I think. Not being able to visit like tiny cities on the way, like more than 10 minutes, I think, not for more than 10 minutes. And then ending up sounded nice, where you ended up in a random place in the middle of Russia. But the whole experience, I was like, I don't necessarily need that anymore.
But it was completely worth it.
Really?
I don't regret it. It was really interesting. So maybe you should try. You don't have to. Well, of course, at the moment it's not possible, but in the future.
What did you like about it? Or what made it so memorable?
It's so different. Like, of course, you can catch a plane and fly there. I mean, I flew back from Irkutsk to Moscow. But just, you know, sitting there, and it was so authentic Russian experience. And then arriving in Irkutsk and seeing Baikal, I don't know, it's somehow I really liked the experience. I didn't like it in like those moments, but I think it depends on people. I mean, I somehow felt that I was in person, like I couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I spoke to another person who had also done that. And she said that, not the same one who told me about that, but just another one. And she said that, it was so comfortable. I was just reading and playing chess. And, you know, I think it depends on people.
Okay.
Like, yeah.
But do you speak Russian?
Yeah, I speak Russian. I mean, it's not fluent, but I can have like just conversations, like normal, basic conversations. So I could speak to people.
Mm-hmm. And you also speak Spanish. Do you speak any other languages?
English, Estonian, and then there is like Italian and Portuguese. I mean, they are like. I can speak, but it's not like super fluent, and I can have like conversations. It's somehow I like those Roman languages, like Spanish, Italian, Portuguese. But the thing is that as I don't speak them every day, mm-hmm. so it's when I start speaking, it's quite rusty, and so I have to, you know, improve. And then, like, you know, remember all the words and stuff. So, you know, you have to speak languages in order not to forget them. Yeah. I should do it more. Like, I really should do it more.
Uh-huh. But what made you learn those languages? Didn't you? I know, like, bigger countries, like French people or France and Germany, like, they travel and they expect others to learn their expressions and languages. Did you ever had an idea when traveling, especially when you were 18, that, but why don't the Mexicans try to learn Estonian? Why should I give all the effort?
No, never. Like, I mean, I think when you are Estonian, you know that no one speaks Estonian. Like, I have never, ever thought about that Mexicans should learn Estonian. I mean, when they live in Estonia, well, it would be nice. But they don't have to. Well, I mean, yeah, it would be nice just to learn a bit Estonian. But when you're Estonian, you know, you have to learn different languages, because otherwise you can't communicate. So I have always been happy to learn different languages. I have always liked learning different languages, but yeah, I'm planning to learn some more languages or improve these. But you know, it's adult life that you're planning stuff and you are not doing that. So I should improve my languages or just learn something new.
So this is something that you plan on or you would like to do. You would like to learn some more languages. Is there any other things in your bucket list or list that I definitely want to visit this amount of countries or these countries specifically or something like that?
I want to visit all the countries in the world.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like, I mean, I'm just choosing randomly places to visit where I see when I see some good tickets, like and I'm not buying them always, but I'm just, it's not like, oh, I want to go to, I don't know, Philippines, like I have to find tickets there. It's not like that. I choose what I find. Well, the thing is that my boyfriend has that kind of countries that he would like to see. So we have wanted to go to Japan. Well, the problem is that Japan is close because of coronavirus. They haven't opened the country. I mean, I think it's possible now. It is possible to go with a tour company, using tour company, but it is not possible to go alone. So I mean, maybe Japan would be that kind of country because he wants to go there. But otherwise, I'm just like, you know, I'm open to visit all the countries. So it's more than 100 to go.
Okay, but do you try to visit like more than one country during one trip? Or just do like Andorra, one check, and then come back, and then go for Norway, come back? Or you try like, okay, if I'm going to Norway, maybe let's try Denmark and Sweden? Or
Yeah, it depends where you go and how much time you have. In general, I'm trying to visit more than one country because, I mean, for example, when you're going to Latin America, it makes sense to visit several countries because it's expensive to fly there. It takes time. You know, it's it makes sense to visit more than one country. But of course, it depends on places and it depends on time. Yeah, there are several factors.
Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, that one way to go to Japan now is with an excursion or a tourist company. I know that at least one trip you did through a tourist company and you visited North Korea, which is pretty special. So how did you decide to go there and what is that you remember from this trip?
It started in Costa Rica, actually. So I was in Costa Rica and I met one Dutch girl who mentioned that she had been to North Korea. And I was wow, like, North Korea, is it possible to go there? I mean, I knew that it's possible, but like I wanted to get more information about that. So she told me the name of the tour company and it was quite easy. So I checked the website of that tour company. It's based in China, in Beijing. So, and then it was in the month of March 2014 when I met that Dutch girl. And in January, I went to North Korea. So it was like 8 months later, I went to North Korea. And I used the same company that she had used. So, to go to North Korea, you have to go... with a group. It's not like I'm just going to North Korea. It's not possible. They don't allow you to go alone anywhere. Like, there was always a guide with us. So it was definitely the most interesting trip I have ever been. Again, I'm not supporting the system in North Korea, but as a trip to see something that is like so completely different from the world I live. So it was really interesting trip.
Okay. So what was the something specific that was interesting in that trip?
Okay, I think that they are pretending to have, like, for example, I think that there are actors there trying to, you know,
showcase some facade or something.
Yeah, I mean, okay, I give you an example. We went to a library and there was, we saw like some people using computer. Like there were, there was one computer and then like three men standing there. And 20 minutes later when we came back, they were still standing there. And then I noticed that it was like normal computer, not laptop, like normal computer on the table. And it didn't have a mouse. So actually, they were just pretending to like search for something, but they couldn't move any, like no mouse. You can't, without a mouse, you can't do anything there because it wasn't laptop. So they were just pretending.
Or maybe they're full like a step ahead of us with technology and they move things with their mind.
Yeah, definitely. For sure. And of course, something that was really interesting, those statues of Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong, Kim Il-sung was the oldest one, and then Kim Jong-il, those are dead, and Kim Jong-un is alive. Yeah, the statues of those guys, you know, like huge statues, a lot of statues, and pictures and all the stuff, but it was crazy.
Wow, okay. I've been to South Korea, so I can, well, no, I can't imagine life in North Korea. But I've seen North Korea, at least.
Yeah, I have also seen South Korea from the same place, the other side.
We went to the border with a tour guide, and then we saw, like, they had those binoculars, and you could look into them, and you could see people working on the fields. And it was January with minus 20 degrees, so I don't know what they were doing, but... Oof.
Yeah, it was so, it was also January when I was there, and I saw people working on the field, and I had the same question. I didn't understand what they were doing on the field. Like, I mean, like in January,
it has to be like rock hard the whole ground.
Yeah, then yeah.
Yep. Coming back to one interesting topic that you mentioned, that your parents are not funding your travels, and you...
Why should they? I'm 31.
And you have to work to travel. So how do you combine this work-life balance, or like working to travel or travel to work, or how does, in which, what is the priorities here, or how does it all work together?
Well, I mean, I have 5 weeks of vacation, so I use my vacation for traveling. But yes, I have also worked and traveled. For example, when I was in Mexico for 3 months, like that, the second time in Mexico 4 years ago, I was also working for my Estonian company. I was doing some work in Mexico and also my work for Estonia. So it is possible if you want it. Of course, it's not possible with all the jobs, but when you work in the internet, then yeah, why not?
Mm. That's good. Of course, everything is possible. That's a good inspirational thing. You have also written 3 books and you host a podcast about traveling. So how did those things came about?
Okay, about my podcast. My colleague asked me if I wanted to do a podcast. So I started a podcast. And the rest of it, it's history. So, but about my books. When I published my first book in 2016, after I had finished, I mean, I left my job in 2014 to, you know, just travel around. Then I was 7 months in Latin America, then a month in Russia, 3 months in Sicily, and then a month in North Korea and China. And then when I came, well, and then like at the end of that period, I started thinking, oh, maybe I should publish a book, because a lot of people asked, like, when do you write a book? And I was like, there are so many travel books, like, why should I? And then there was in Sicily, I had a moment like, and I understood, yes, I will write a book, and I did. The second one, I mean, after finishing my first book, I knew that there will be second one. When I finished my second book, I knew that this is it, like no third book. And then after, let me think, after 3 years, 3 years? No, 4 years. After 4 years, I started thinking, okay, I'm here at home, I can't travel because of coronavirus. Maybe I should write my third book. And then I was like, I think I should write the third book. It was honestly just one one Saturday evening, like in January. I was just at home and I was like, I should write the third book. And then the next day I started writing.
Huh.
And it was published in June.
Wow. Okay. Half a year it took. Did you start it from zero, like writing from empty pages, or you had always kept a travel blog, so you just copy-pasted some memories and then...
Yeah, copy-paste, no. I mean, yes, I have some stories on my blog, and I have just written on my to my diary, but even those that were on the blog... I always did them like I wrote more, because like I think in the blog you don't want to read like when it's huge, but so I made it a bit shorter. So I wrote them like a bit longer, but yes, I also did from zero.
Mm. Do you still keep a blog about your travels or daily life or
about daily life? No, when I travel, then a bit. Yeah, about traveling, but not about daily life.
Okay, okay. And you write in Estonian, right?
Yeah, my blog is in Estonian.
Okay, so here is more inspiration and motivation to learn Estonian for listeners who can't understand it yet, but would like to. So you mentioned briefly about that, or you mentioned that the reason why you keep coming back to Estonia is that it's your home country. But what do you think makes Estonia and Estonians so different from other places and people where you travel to? It's quite a broad question, but...
I think Estonia and Europe is more... Estonia and Europe is more or less... I can't say the same. Of course, it's not same. But I can compare with like different countries, like, you know, in Latin America, or I could say Africa, but I don't have too much African experience. And also Asia. I mean, it's why it's better.
Why it's different, or what makes it different?
Estonia is my home country, so I think it's the best place in the world. And I also think it's quite a good place to live. Why it's different? I mean, it's like all the cultures are different, so you cannot compare Estonia and Peru, for example. Like they are so different. Like everything is different. Like, I don't know. It's like basically everything is different. Yeah, that's a good thing about world, that it has so many different colors. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful to see that life 5,000 kilometers from Estonia is so completely different.
That's so cool. After visiting so many places, even living in Mexico for 3 months and so on, has your opinion about Estonian economics or culture or politics changed?
Yeah, I think I have mentioned already several times, and I'm saying again that when you travel in many different parts of the world, you understand that like Estonia is so good place to live. Like I think, yeah, you probably don't understand it if you only see the pictures of Estonia, like everything is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, like you complain about everything. But I mean, like, I think all the things are even worse in like many different countries. it has changed a lot. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that Estonia is the best place in the world, and well, I mean, for me it's the best place in the world, but I mean, I understand we have problems, but all the countries have problems. You cannot say that Estonia is so bad and Finland is so good. Like, I mean, I'm sure that Finns also find problems, some kind of big problems they have. So yeah, it has changed a lot.
And how has traveling changed yourself? Are you?
Yeah, I mentioned before that traveling makes you humble. Because you understand that you are so small part of the world, that world is so wide and beautiful, and there are so many interesting things to see. So it has changed a lot. It's cliche that what I'm saying, but traveling makes you a better person. At least it has made me a better person.
Oh, is that why you travel so much, so that you want to upgrade yourself all the time and you want to be the best person?
I haven't thought about that, like about this like that, but I mean, it has already changed me to better person, but I haven't thought that maybe when I travel more I will be better and better. Like I'm not sure if it works like that. But maybe it does. I don't know.
Maybe it does. Maybe after visiting all the countries in the world, you will be the best person in the world.
Definitely.
What would be your recommendations for first about Estonia? Actually, if people travel to Estonia or they are planning to move to Estonia, what do you think they should experience or see in Estonia to get the full experience?
You mean not visit, but they move actually Estonia? I mean, maybe they should learn Estonian. To learn a bit Estonian, because I think Estonians like somehow melt when they see foreigners speaking Estonian. So maybe they get to know Estonians better. And of course, there are so many different places to see and to visit. So I think it's many, many things to see here. But start learning Estonian, even a bit. I mean, you don't have to be fluent. Just, you know, this way that you can have like basic conversation.
Mm-hmm. And why is that important? What can they achieve when they learn the language?
Because, as I said, I think Estonians melt when you speak Estonian. So maybe you can get to know Estonian people better. Mm. I'm not sure.
Do Mexicans act the same way, for example, if you speak Spanish with them? Do they melt, or it's more an Estonian thing?
I think it's more Estonian thing, because we are a small nation. There are not so many people speaking Estonian, but Spanish, there are like millions of people speaking Spanish. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that they are like somehow melting. But the thing is that in Mexico people don't speak English, so. I haven't tried that. I have never tried to speak English in Mexico, but I have heard that people have said that it's really, really difficult without knowing Spanish, because people don't understand you. So like to learn Spanish there, it's necessary, but like it has the other reason.
Mm-hmm. And now that we talked about Estonian tips and advice, what would be your advice and tips for Estonians who want to travel but they haven't really seen anything out there? What do you think would be the place to start?
Well, I mean, do they want to see?
Like, if they want to see.
If they want to see, yeah. I really like Paulo Coelho's quote. It's something like that. One day you will wake up and you don't have time to do all the things that you have always wanted. So do them now. It has been like on my mind for many years. So it was, and actually that quote was one of the reasons, well, one of the reasons, but I mean, I was thinking about that quote when I quit my job 8 years ago to go to start traveling. I was just thinking that, you know, like, if you want to do it, you have to do it at some times. If not, then you get, like, older and older. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm old, I'm 31. But, I mean, I think it's more complicated to do things when you're over 30, because you're in your comfort zone. Well, not entirely, but more than at the beginning of your 20s. So it's always easier to do it when you're younger. And often people are saying that, oh, I don't have enough money. I mean, I'm not rich. like there, I don't have a rich husband or rich parents or, you know, whatever. The thing is that when you want to travel, then you can do it on low budget. I always do it on low budget. So you can go volunteering. You can work abroad. So, you know, just do some small things. For example, I have used a program called Workaway. Well, it's not a program. It's just like a web page where you can find a job, like shorter period of time. For example, 2 weeks, 1 month, where you do a bit of work. And then you get a place to live, and sometimes you get like dinner, breakfast, something like treat. So this helps you. Like, there are so many opportunities. If you really want to travel, then you find opportunities.
Yeah, I agree. This Workaway opportunity to work abroad and to, or volunteer abroad and stay over. Where have you done it and what have you done?
I have done it in Puerto Rico and in Brazil. I was working in hostel and 2 months in both. No, a bit less than 2 months in both. And actually, I think it was on Workaway when I found my babysitting work, for Sicily, to go to Sicily. So, I have mostly done hostel jobs, you know, just helping. In Brazil, I was working in a bar in the hostel, so I was making caipirinhas all the time.
So now you can make the true Brazilian caipirinhas.
I don't remember so well, but basically.
Cool. What are other unexpected skills that you've gained from your trips, like making local caipirinhas?
That's quite a difficult question. You should have told me before that you want to ask that. I'm sure that there are mm-hmm. that kind of skills. I mean, for example, improving languages. Like, it's something that you get when you're traveling there. But at the moment, yeah, I can't point out anything else.
That's fine. What about souvenirs? lot of there are in every capital city, at least in every scenic city, there are streets filled with souvenir shops, and well, they must have clients because there are
lots of stores. I'm not their client. I mean, I've been to 84 countries. Imagine how many souvenirs I should have. Souvenirs are not important for me. Well, yes, I have, you know, small shelf at home. There are like maybe 15 things, 15 like pieces. But I mean, I'm not the person who is buying souvenirs. I think just memories that you have are better. So I think that people who are buying souvenirs are those who travel maybe once a year, twice a year. You know, I'm not saying anything bad about them. You know, if you want to have souvenirs, why not? But the thing is that for me, they are not important. So, and I'm also not bringing souvenirs to other people. Sorry. You know, for example, when I'm traveling with my hand luggage. Like, for example, I was in January, I was in Mauritius. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then I was there for 1 week, and I had only my hand luggage. So you don't have a place to put them. If you have like things for 1 week, and there's no place for souvenirs.
Mm-hmm. What about photos? I know that when I travel, if it's a small trip, if it's a long trip, I still end up with a phone filled with lots of photos. Do you have like a photo albums, or do you sort them somehow, or do you even take photos?
Yes, I take photos. It is quite important. You know, I have heard people saying that don't take photos because otherwise you will miss the moment, or, you know, just capture with your memory and that kind of stuff. Mm-mm, no. After 5 years, you don't remember that moment. So you can capture with your memory, because you won't remember that. So definitely I'm taking photos. Well, I don't have like photo albums because I would have too many of them, but on my computer, yes.
That's nice. And that's a good tip for others as well, for me included, that sometimes when I think that, oh, well, this moment I will definitely remember, then a year later, a few years later, it's like, what was that thing that I wanted to remember?
Yeah, because when you're traveling a lot, then there are like all the time new memories, and you can't remember everything. It's not possible. So, yeah, I'm taking photos.
Okay. Do you have any next trips planned?
You know, I'm usually not speaking about my future trips because I'm afraid that something will happen. But I mean, I think I'm going to Spain soon. But it's not like you know, I'm just like a bit superstitious. Yeah, I'm a bit superstitious about that. So
that's something
else.
Okay, let's not talk about the future trips. Let's start wrapping up the episode, and in the end I would love for you to share some traveling story or a short memory that you cherish a lot.
Okay, I was thinking about that, and I want to tell you about a story that took place in Belize. There is one place called the Great Blue Hole. So there's the, I don't know how to explain what it is, but it's just like in the ocean, there's like hole. Mm-hmm. And you can see it. So it's possible to dive there or fly on a plane over the big blue hole. So I took the plane trip. I was the only passenger that day, so it was only me and the pilot. And when I got to plane, he said that, "Oh, I hope you don't mind. We have to go to the city, to Belize City. We were on the island Key Corker. We have to go to Belize City because I need fuel." I'm like, "Oh, okay, nice." But the thing is that I have to be back on time because I have a boat to catch to go to Belize. And he said, "Oh, okay, but I can take you there by plane." So, by taxi, I will take you by car. Mm-hmm. But he offered me to take me to Belize City by plane. Oh. So it was like, wow. And he took me there by plane. And also flying over Big Blue Hole was quite amazing. It was really beautiful. And there was also a wheel in front of me, so I could move the plane. I could actually move the plane. Mm-hmm. And then we opened the windows, and we were in the plane, and the windows were open.
What?
We weren't high, so it was okay.
Okay. There.
Yeah. So it was like it's.
Okay.
It was a really amazing experience. It was definitely once in a lifetime opportunity. It was 4 years ago, and it was still amazing. Wow. It's still amazing for me.
That sounds so incredible and such a wild thing to happen. Like, "Oh, let me take you by my plane."
Yes, exactly. Amazing.
Wow. Okay, it's been really cool and inspiring to hear about your stories and travels. Is there anything else you would like to add before we wrap up?
If you want to travel, then you should start.
That sounds good. So thank you for being my guest today. And for all the listeners, find Found in Estonia podcast on Facebook, on Instagram, and go to foundinestonia.com and join the monthly newsletter as well. And a bit more about the sponsor of this season. This season is sponsored by Mondo, which is a non-profit organization who aims to reduce global inequality. And this media content has been prepared in cooperation with NGO Mondo in the framework of the project I Am European: Migration Stories and Facts for the 21st Century, funded by the European Union and Estonian Center for International Development, ESTEV. The content of this media content does not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of the funders. And that's it from my side. Until next time. Bye.